following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, this is going to be a really strange, turn to Acts 7, a very strange sharing, because it's going to be kind of real life. I'm wrestling with some issues. I was telling Sherry a bit ago, wrestling, trying to hear the Holy Ghost, and I feel like the church is at a crossroads. And I'm glad for all those that are here. Hopefully those that aren't here will buy this CD, because I think we're at a crossroads in the spirit, and we need to make a decision where we're going to go as far as to get in on what the Lord is doing. And God's been dealing with a lot of issues in my own heart about this, because there's a lot of warfare. But I flipped the scripture. I was reading the scripture in Acts. I'm sorry, it's Acts 8, guys, not 7, Acts 8. I want you to see verse 19. This is a comment of the occult leader named Simon, who held the whole city of Samaria under sorcery. And Peter and John showed up after Philip showed up. It's a great evangelist revival, casting demons out, people getting healed. And Simon, the sorcerer, was really jealous because, you know, he had these people under his sway, and this guy comes in and starts casting out demons, signs and wonders. Everybody follows him, you know. So he was jealous. But he began to watch what this guy was doing, and he kind of got in on the act. You know, I can't beat him, join him type thing. Well, then Peter and John are sent from Jerusalem, the apostles, and it says they laid hands on the people, and the Holy Ghost came on them. When Peter and John came, apparently Philip needs some support, and they laid hands on these new delivered and saved and healed people, and power was coming on these people. And it must have been something significant. When Peter and John laid hands, it must have been something significant happened to them. The reason is, look at the response of Simon the sorcerer in verse 19, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." And if you look at the preceding verses, there must have been something significant in the way they laid hands, because this guy was impressed. See? They laid hands and power came, and I believe they manifested speaking in tongues. There was, I think about it, Philip had already been there, demons had been coming out, significant signs and wonders of healing, and then the apostles come down, and there's so much power. What's really amazing is Philip was moving all those power, signs and wonders without people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? So Peter and John come down, and they speak and pray, and this Holy Spirit comes, and it must be such a demonstration of power that Simon said, "Dude, I want some of that." And he actually had the audacity, the gall, the guts, whatever, to go to Peter and say, I want that power. Give me the power. Now, I would submit his motive was probably okay, but and Peter had to rebuke him. Because Peter saw he wanted to pay money for it. And he had a lot of bitterness. And frankly, Peter nailed him. He was resentful. But the point was, he wanted power. He recognized what he saw happening was far greater than what he had. You know? He saw that the power that Peter and John and Philip, what they did with these people was far greater. He wanted to get on in the act. We're really not told what happens, because it ends with him being rebuked. And then it ends with him repenting. He says, "Oh, please pray for me." Now, there have been, in church history, if I recall, there are some beliefs about what ultimately happened to this gentleman, that he did indeed ultimately come to Christ, but he surely needed deliverance. But the point I wanted to point out, his question was, give me this guy, you ready, was willing to pay for the power. He's willing to pay. And the question tonight is, what are you willing to pay for power? Today. Not tonight. Now, this is where I want to shift gears a little bit. Something's been going on. I've been making allusions to it for a long time, and it's finally broken out. And I want to bring it all out on the table and share with you the things I'm struggling with about this. And it's simply this. I've been sharing ever since last summer, when the Lord began to move us in the direction of healing, that there are these great streams of healing going on in the United States. There's some, I've been saying, there's conferences going on in various places where there's a level of signs and wonders going on in the United States far greater than I've ever known in all the years I've been a Christian since the 70s. And whereas these kinds of signs and wonders occurs in the third world, they're beginning to happen in the United States. And last summer, I was able to plug into, thanks to the internet and podcasting and all, listening to teaching, ferreting out, becoming acquainted with many of the leaders of what God is doing. And what's interesting about the shining leaders of this, what I'm seeing in Christendom and all that I read and touch base with, is there's really three camps. There's a whole camp of Christendom that absolutely doesn't even believe the gifts are for today, totally stuck in denominationalism. They sniff their nose at any of this. Okay, that's a large part of Christendom today. Then there's a very large part of charismatic Christendom, spirit-filled Christendom, that has absolutely written this off because of the excesses, the imbalances, and that kind of thing. Just twisted it off, written it off. And then you have another segment that is embracing it wholeheartedly, and then you, I believe, have segments that are trying to move in it in a balanced way. So the question is, where do we want to fall in this? Because it's coming down to where we have to make a decision as a church. It's like this. If there is a stream going on in the country where people are being raised from the dead, blind eyes are being opened, deaf ears are being opened, okay, creative miracles of a phenomenal are happening in the country right now, this very week, do we will be part of that, and what price are we willing to pay? And to be honest with you, as I've been familiar with a lot of these leaders, there's one particular leader I found that I really, really feel very comfortable with. You know why? Well, he reminds me a lot of me and everybody I'm around. He's laid back. He's kind of normal. He's a joker. He's got a real earthiness about him. And it's Bill Johnson out of a church in Reading. And I like the guy. He's got really intuitive insight. He's a word man. Everything's in the word. I bought a bunch of his books, sound, bona fide. He's a fourth generation pastor. His grandfather, great guy, just a whole line of pastors, solid. He pastored a small work for 17 years where he just kind of, you know, paid his dues. And he actually was in the same meeting as I was in 87, exact same meeting where the Lord touched him significantly. In Healing 87, summer of 87, John Wimber, Francis McNutt, I was there, he was there. And he kind of got away from it and came back into it back when the Spirit moved with the Brownsville and the Toronto revival back in the mid-90s. That's what kind of sparked him again. I really like this guy. I'm very comfortable with him. I really hear the Lord through him. I respect him. I've emailed him. I'm thankful that he's a good, kind of a solid dude. But then there's a lot of others that he associates with and ministers with and are moving in signs and wonders. Guys, they're across the spectrum. Okay, he's the one that's the most normal to me, and that's why I kind of like him. But there's ones that are really out there. But he freely associates with them, freely. He has no problem because there's a level of maturity that I think Bill Johnson has that I don't have. He's able to look through the peripheral and the whatever and get a hold of the Holy Ghost. Now, that some of the phenomena that's been going on in the last couple of years is really out there stuff. And you've probably heard of it. And in some circles, people write it off as, well, I can't be God, that's got to be the devil. You know, for gold dust to fall or feathers to fall in the room or glory clouds or all these phenomena, there's a whole sect that's saying, that's can't be God. And then there's others that say, wow, signs and wonders, let's just go for that. And they're not ever plugged in and discipled and sitting under the Word. You understand? Well, what I've discovered and convinced of after many, many, many months of this is God is really, really moving. In fact, I was telling somebody, I think Gina, that when I first heard about the Toronto revival, now we really went or embraced the Brownsville revival. We even went there as a church back in the mid-90s. But the Toronto revival from the get-go was weird. When the Spirit fell in Toronto in 1995 or so, people started doing really, really weird things. I mean, just acting like animals and stuff. And even Norman Parrish went there with his son and was at one of the meetings at the airport, Vineyard Airport. And I even asked Norman and his son Peter, when one woman fell down the floor, you know, wiggling around, he said, Daddy, that's a demon. But they were just blessing it, assuming it was all the Holy Ghost. That thing swept through Houston. John Arnott came to Jones Hall, a church in the city of, and it got really, really weird. But you know what? In the very beginning of it, I'll never forget, I was standing in my office, and I had a little box of scriptures that I bought at a garage sale about 25 years ago. And once in a while, I'll pull one out. Y'all ever do that? Be honest. Sometimes you'll pull a scripture out. Lord, what are you saying? And that day, I was saying, Lord, is this of you? Is this thing of you? And I'll never forget, I pulled the scripture out, and you know what the scripture said? It is of the Lord's mercy that his... It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. I'll never forget. It is of the Lord. I went, oh. I never forget. I went, oh, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to say, reprobate apostates, rebuke them. No, it said, it is of the Lord. And what I began to believe, that was what opened my heart to it. I began to believe and have believed ever since, it is of the Lord. That thing spread to England and Australia, and it were all over the world. Phenomenal. Thousands, tens of thousands healed and delivered. But in the very beginning, there was leaven. There was something weird. There was something imbalanced. Even the vineyard ministry detached themselves from them. You know? But nevertheless, the core of it was the Lord. And when I found out about the Lord is not all picky like you and I. He's not all... He actually... can move in spite of imbalance. Did y'all know that? He can move in spite of people not having it perfectly down. For crying out loud, my mom, who loved Jesus, absolutely was in love with Jesus, prayed to Mary and believed in purgatory and in transubstantiation as a Catholic. And I had a real problem with that, but I realized, you know, the Lord looks at the heart. And I had any doubt about it. I had an open vision of her when she died, guys, and she was going to, it was in heaven. So, I mean, go figure. There are some people who say, well, a Catholic you know, believes that they can't go to heaven. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not going to judge. God looks at the heart. Would y'all agree? So, what the Lord wants, here's the question. I've had to wrestle with this because what's happened in the last 45 days is it's all come out and exploded. It's come to birth. 45 days ago, a fellow named Todd Bentley, who's got to be way on the, I mean, he, you know, the balance here. I mean, he's way over here, dude. I mean, he's like, here's the chart, and he's over here, off the chart. This guy, tattoos from the neck on down, just real. You think you got tattoos? You Lily White compared to this dude, and he's raw. He was preaching at a Harley Davidson jacket on. I saw him the other night, he's talking about Hulk Hogan watches his show. And I was thinking, you know, Hulk Hogan would actually like watching this guy. He's out there. Incredibly offensive. When I first saw him, I saw him about 6 months ago. I've read a lot of his stuff long before this revival broke out. I knew about Todd Bentley. Criminal gangster. When he got saved, one time they asked him to preach at one of these street missions. When he first got saved, because he was fiery. He spent 2 full days, 8 hours each day before the Lord, seeking God for that one preaching. And because somebody said, no one ever told him different. You don't spend 16 hours in preparation to share for an hour at a street meeting. He didn't know. So when he got there, the fellow writing his article said, he got up to preach. He said, never seen anything like it before since. The street people came running up, repenting and weeping right there for their sins. There was a power in this guy's life. And he just, you know, he's a radical. And he now has a worldwide ministry on all over the world. And does these incredible campaigns in Africa. And you can study some of the, you know, 50, 100,000 and phenomenal signs and wonders. Every miracle under the book that he's seen occur under his ministry. But what's happened is about 2 months ago, he showed up to this little church in Lakeland, Florida, and he asked the pastor to do a 5-day meeting. Just 5 days. And the pastor said, sure. Well, he started, and the signs and wonders began. They're now every single night. Last night was the 45th night. The signs and wonders have increased to such a degree that I'm being forced to wrestle with this. Now, listen, you can actually see this revival. Back in Brownsville days, we had to drive over to, where was it? Pensacola and... This thing is live streaming every night on God.TV. And you can watch this revival every night. And since last Monday all the way to last night, the crowd's about doubled. It was like 4,000. It was about to 8 or 10,000 last night. But guys, a little girl was raised from the dead that died Monday, raised from the dead Wednesday here in the United States. The level of miracles that just occurred last night that was on the streaming of this revival is beyond the pale of anything I've ever seen in the United States. They've already had four or five resurrections from the dead. A guy was healed of terminal cancer, watching it through the internet, came on last night and had the paperwork, and literally you could call the hospital. People with backs and completely metal in their backs dissolving and disappearing. One of the most phenomenal ones happened, I think it was last night, people coming out of the wheelchairs. The anointing came on in one night. He commanded people to come out of their wheelchair. This woman got out. She ran across the stage last night. This woman had been her caretaker for 17 years, started screaming and crying. She'd never seen in 17 years a woman even walk or stand. She ran across the stage. These miracles just this last week have gotten to such a caliber, such an anointing, it's breaking out all over the United States and the world. This streaming video is happening all over the world right now. In Iraq, Iran, Greece, Europe, Central South America, people are watching the streaming video. There are many, many churches in the United States, this outbreak. They say it's the most contagious anointing, that if you just get a part of it, you bring it back, it breaks out. And I've never seen it. I'm forced to deal with this because I don't like this. I wish the guy was Bill Johnson. I really do. I said, well, why can't it be? He's normal looking, you know. He doesn't wear a tie. He's normal. Got a granddaddy. Why do you let this guy with the tattoos and the weirdness? I'm going to show you why. The Lord showed me three scriptures. You want to see them? He nailed me in the Word, because I go back to the Word. Well, I think it's in the Word. No, I know it's in the Word, but I think it's... It better be in the Word. If it ain't in the Word... All right, Mark 6, and the Lord nailed me. Verse 2. Three scriptures. And I want to challenge you, because the point is tonight, what are you willing to pay for power? What are we willing to do as a church? Because I want to treat this church as adults. I could protect you and encourage you, but you know what? The Lord nailed me. So this is a mature church. Are y'all, who has hopes or trusts you have some discernment? The problem is, the Lord nailed me. I think we're actually too much discernment on one side, and the point, we may have religious spirits, starting with me. You know what a religious spirit is? Is sometimes you don't like it if it doesn't come packaged the way you like it. You reject it. Am I right? That's a religious spirit. And it's very easy to get. And I don't want that demon. But I think it's easy to get. And so the Lord has actually brought me the point the other day where I actually was thankful that the revival is happening through Todd Bentley. I actually said, thank you, Jesus, because I see the wisdom of it. Let me show you this. Mark 6:2. And when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence is this man these things? And what wisdom is that given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought through his hands? See, he didn't come packaged like they like him. Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, are not his sisters with us? And notice, and they were what? He didn't come packaged like the lot. They were offended at him. Look at another one. Another passage. There are three verses here. This is the one where John the Baptist sent somebody to see if Jesus was the one. Is that y'all forgive me. The Lord quickened this to me before I could even find the verses this morning. I've looked them up, but I didn't write them down. Come on, help me. Come on, Bible scholars. Where is it, Luke? There's two of them. There's one particular one I want to find where John the Baptist sent his followers to see if Jesus was the one or if there was another. I'm putting you on the spot. Whoever finds it first wins. Come on. I know where it is on the page. See, I'm turning the pages, looking at that part. This is embarrassing. Mr. Bible. What? Matthew 11? That's it! Who said that? You win. Let's hear it for Jean. No, she doesn't wear my motorcycle. You know, I was thinking I ought to wear a Harley Davidson because I only have a Honda. I had some guy, who was it? Somebody saw my bike once and said, he said, you have a bike? I said, yeah. Oh, cool. What is it? It's a Honda. He went, oh. I said, it's a Harley David wannabe. From a distance, it kind of looks like one. It's called the Ace, the American Classic Edition. Anyway, I can't afford a Harley Davidson. People don't tithe enough, you know? I'm kidding. I wouldn't want one of those Harleys. This Honda keeps me on the back streets. Okay. There you go. I hear the Lord. Listen, we're gonna take a Harley offering. And if you give more than $1,000, I'll put your name on the tank. I'm kidding. I really don't. Oh, no, it was Mark Penny. That's who it was. He's got two Harleys. And he said, oh, you got a bike. Yeah, it's a Honda. He went, oh. Okay. Matthew 11, or verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Listen, John already... did you know Jesus was his cousin? And he'd already attested. Do y'all remember him when he baptized Jesus? He said, behold, the Lamb of God. I mean, would you agree with me that he believed Jesus was the Messiah? Come on, work with me. I mean, he even said, he that's to come is preferred before me. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. Then what in the world does this have to do? I believe he sat in prison and he began to get offended because he thought, well, he's not doing like I thought. I think he had, because if you watch what John preached, he said, when he comes, the high places are going to be cast down, the low places are going to be lifted up, you know. I think he thought Jesus was going to come and wipe out the Romans and set up the kingdom. He just didn't understand that little gap of about 2,000 years and the suffering Messiah thing, you know. He thought of the millennial Christ. So he's sitting in prison, and finally he can't stand it. He keeps hearing a word come in. He sends two guys out. He says, this is what to say to him, verse 3. When you come to Jesus, will you say, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? Now, guys, this is John the Baptist who wouldn't even say, behold the Lamb of God. I would submit he's beginning to get a doubt, and he's beginning to get offended, listen to what he's hearing. Now, what's so cool is what Jesus did. Jesus did not say, oh, no, tell John, I'm him, your cousin, dude, remember the dove? You remember the dove came down? I'm him. Did Jesus do that? Here, let me write a note. You know, no, look what he did. This is amazing. He said to John, Jesus answered, said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What's interesting, the other places is in the gospel. It says, in just the little time they were with Jesus, this is what he did. Just a little time. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached. And look at, and blessed is he whoever shall not be what? Was that a little rebuke? Where is the other passage of this? Luke 7. Yeah, let's look at that. Let's look at the other one, because that illustrates it even clearer. Yeah, you looked at the margin. Gene found it right out. Okay. Luke 7:18. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you that he should come, or look for we for another? Luke 7:18. And look at here it is. And when the men were come, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you, Jesus. Are you he that should come, or look for we for another? And in the same hour, look at this, the same hour they were there, he cured many of their infirmities, plagues, evil spirits, and on many he gave the blind sight. And he said, go your way, tell John what things you've seen and heard. He said, you just go back and you tell him what you just saw and heard. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised, and the poor the gospel. Blessed is he that's not offended me. In other words, in just that 1 hour, that's how much signs and wonders Jesus did. Just that 1 hour, he did all those miracles. What the Lord showed me is they were offended. John the Baptist was offended because Jesus wasn't packaged the way he wanted him. You know? And the last one is Philippians 1. These are the three verses, Lord, quicken. Philippians 1. Paul was in prison. He had heard that people were bad-mouthing him, or people saying all kind of things. There was all kind of disorder, imbalance going on with him being in prison. He was frustrated because the care of the churches was falling upon him. And this is what he said. Verse 14, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak without fear. You know, that means they're not worried about Paul getting on them because he's in prison. And some are preaching Christ of envy and strife, some of goodwill. One preacher of Christ of contention, not sincerely. In other words, he's saying there's a lot of people out there ministering all kind of ways. The other of love, verse 17, knowing I'm sent for the defense of the gospel. Look at verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding, look at his testimony. Every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein rejoice, the one rejoice. In other words, God had to open Paul's heart to realize there are all kinds of ways, but whatever, Jesus is being lifted up. I'm not going to be persnickety about it. I'm going to bless it. Well, the Lord quickened those three verses to me. And I had to wrestle with that because what it was Jesus was not packaged the way a lot of people liked. And so they were offended at him. And you can see that in the Gospel of John. Many said, well, this man is of the devil. Others said, well, how can someone of the devil open the eyes of the blind? The confusion they had was the signs and wonders. Because back when that blind guy from birth was healed, that's exactly the argument they were having. If he was of the devil, huh? Well, what's interesting, the revival that I saw this week on God.TV, started about 7 or 8 o'clock, it goes to about, it shuts off at 10, but it's live streaming. This week, I saw, and it was legitimate enough hours of spontaneous and honest worship, deep, the blind eyes open, creative supernatural miracles, the deaf ears open, the lame jumping out of wheelchairs, and at least three people raised from the dead. One night, the anointing came to speak to women, reproduction problems, and sexual problems. And he did mass deliverance, came against the demons of homosexuality. It was refreshing to hear that. To assault the demons of lesbian, homo, and to curse the demons for the sin and the wickedness and to cast them out. I said, dude, I can't argue. I don't care what he looks like. This guy's doing mass deliverance against perversion. You don't often hear that today on TV. My God, this is the very week that California Supreme Court has ruled that gay marriage is legit. MS may be the Lord that at the same time somebody in a revival was rebuking it. And then he began to call out all these, and this guy really understands all these different ailments of women with their womb, with their and hysterectomies and endometriosis and all. And they're phenomenal. And then for about 20 minutes, women streamed on the stage talking about the phenomena, and he would say, go check it out, come back with the doctor's papers. If it wasn't evident right there, like one woman had all these cysts and all gone, and he said, then go get it, you come back with that. We want to see them. This guy is confident enough, he's not wanting a sham. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Guys, since last weekend, I have never seen this level of signs and wonders. I don't know what to do with it. I just soon not turn that thing on, ignore it, pretend it's not existing, just go back our merry little way. So let's do that. Let's just forget that it's happening anywhere. We'll push shades over the doors. Is that cool? Okay, well, let's do that. Let's just start from Genesis 1 and start reading the Bible. In the beginning. No, I can't get away from it. Well, you know what? The one thing about this brother, this radical brother, his whole passion is to give it away and bring it back where you are. That's his whole passion, is to give it away and bring it back. And what's happening is, apparently, it's coming through the anointing. Oops. And like I said, we're at a crossroads. I'll tell you what, I was telling Sherry about this, and what opened my heart to the guy. I was resistant, but something happened later this week. It finally opened my heart. One testimony. It was a pastor from Southern Florida. He got up on the stage. He looked totally normal. He had a tie and a coat. He'd been a pastor for 37 years, apparently of a conservative church. Really good, you know, sharp-looking dude. And he came up on the stage, nothing kind of, you know, shaking and all this stuff. And he said, well, for the last 10 or 12 years, I've suffered with asthma. And he just talked about the asthmatic problem he had. He says, I have to take these medicines every day. I have to do breathing. I don't understand what asthma is. He said, it's such a pain. He says, when I walked in and sat down and heard the worship, I was healed. And he came up there, and this man began to just about weep. And I think, here's this normal-looking 37-year-old pastor in front of this really out-there tattooed dude about weeping because Jesus healed him. I was thinking about Jairus. Who was Jairus? He built the synagogue. And he was probably not one that would consort with such rabble. You know, he was kind of high up in the society. You know, wouldn't be found. But when his little daughter died, who did he go to? And the bottom line is, the reason this thing is exploding is because people are sick of powerless Christianity. They want to go to church where they can get healed. Terminal cancers. Cysts disappearing. Limbs growing back. That's the kind of power that's manifesting in this move today. But guys, I'm going to tell you, when that kind of power hits, there's a lot of weirdness. Y'all want to see the scripture for weirdness? Have I showed that? The weirdness scripture? Want to see it? Where is it? Samuel, when Saul was with the prophets. And they helped Jean, you know where that is? Remember? Huh? She's looking fast. She don't want to lose her record here. It's when Saul, just before he started really chasing David. Saul sent the... I found it. Beat y'all. 19:23. 1 Samuel 19:21. Look at 1 Samuel 19:21. 1 Samuel 19:21. 1 Samuel. Now, I don't know what Bible you have over there, but mine has those many verses. Gene, go help that man out. Our resident theologian can't find it. 1 Samuel 19:21. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messages, and they prophesied likewise. Let's look at verse 20. And Saul sent messages to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul. So Saul sent a bunch of guys to go get David. They walked into this company of prophets, and they started prophesying. They weren't there to prophesy. They were just, out to kill. But when the Spirit hit them, they began to prophesy. And when Saul, verse 21, he sent other messages, and they prophesied likewise. Every time some of his messages would get amongst these prophets, the Spirit would hit them, and they prophesy. The anointing was so strong. And Saul sent messages again the third time, and they prophesied. Every time he sent somebody, they got in the circle, they go, I began to prophesy. It wasn't working. He had to send them out on a mission of vengeance, and they came back with the anointing. So finally, he went also to Ramah himself and came to a great well that's in somewhere, and he asked and said, where's Samuel and David? So he said, I'm going to do this myself. And once they behold, they be in Naoth and Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth and Ramah. He's trying to find David and Samuel. And the Spirit of God was upon him too. And he went and prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes. And he prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and night. Wherefore they say is Saul also among the prophets. Now that has got to be the weirdest verse. Saul was sending these guys to kill David, and every time they got around the prophets, they would prophesy. Now, I would believe that the guys he sent were probably good-hearted servants, but Saul was full of demons. He was full of vengeance, and am I right? Now, notice, when he got amongst the Spirit of the Lord, he got around the Spirit of the Lord, guess what? It manifested. But he got weird. What did he do? He stripped his clothes off. He's laying there naked, prophesying. Would you agree that's kind of out there? I was going to show you the weird verse. You know what it says to me? Apparently, he was prophesying, but he was also weird. You know what's interesting? Balaam? Did Balaam have problems? He was a sorcerer. He compromised. He had a problem with money and greed. And did you know that God prophesied of the Star of Bethlehem through Balaam? Go figure. Doesn't it make you think, God, you look up and say, God, can't you be a little more discriminate in who you manifest through? And the Lord says, you're right. Get out of the way. Am I right? We are really... Well, we can see those 2x4s in these other people, can't we? Aren't you glad that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance? That God is big-hearted. He looks at the heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, this revival is manifested. I watch some of the things are just weird, dude. And I would submit, sometimes it's just the Holy Ghost hits somebody full of demons. But some people see, that's weird, and they judge the whole thing. I think that is just as wrong as to embrace it wholeheartedly without discernment. So the question today, I want to end this, is what are you willing to pay for power? We as a church, guys, are at a crossroads. I don't know about you, and I told this to Sherry last night. I am sick of powerless Christianity. I'm sick of it. I mean, I don't even want to preach anymore if there's not any power. I'm just sick of it. And if the angel of the Lord comes down and stirs the waters at seasons, y'all remember that passage? It might behoove us to get down in the water. Now, it might be a little murky in there. Use discernment. So the question is, are you with me or against me on this deal? Where do we go? I don't know. Are you adult enough to be able to plug into this revival? Look at it. Use discernment. It's going to be hard. Sherry, was last night the first time you saw it? It's funny. Sherry was watching it last night, and she's going, oh, my God. Her eyes are like this. Oh, my God. The guy with the tattoos. And I said, I'm turning around and said, I know that's where I was about a week ago. I understand. It's weird. Just grit your teeth and look at the fruit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hang on there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Turn the channel. But if you just leave it on, a woman comes on the stage and jumps out of a wheelchair. Somebody gets healed of terminal cancer. A dead baby's raised. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the only validation Christ gave to his ministry. I showed you in the scripture. And I'm going to tell you what. If the dead's raised, if the blind eyes are open, the deaf ears are open, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Last night, this brother screamed and passionately cried out for the anointing that people come back to their first love to Jesus. That people have lost and they come back to the first passion for Jesus. And one thing I saw is there was tons of young people in that room. In their 20s, teens. One kid came up, you know, with the thing on their head. What is this thing? And tattoos. And he had been in a car wreck. And his face had been paralyzed. And he was blind. And his ears were damaged. And all the bones. And he came up. He was absolutely, totally, 100% utterly healed. All the bones, absolutely normal, could hear and see. And he came up. And he was broken and repentant. And the brother prophesied over him that God would use him. Now, would you believe that young man might begin to follow Jesus Christ? There is so much occult and evil and witchcraft and perversion. The level of witchcraft coming out of Hollywood right now, guys, the level of evil and wickedness is jacked up. Antichrist is... I really believe, I am convinced, the reason this is happening now is because America's fixing to become like Africa. See, it happens in the third world. When I was in India, the power came. Because it's lands of darkness and witchcraft and evil and paganism. Folks, are you understanding? Why are the signs and wonders jacking up in America? Because America's turning left to darkness. And the Lord says, oh no. If you're going to go there, I'm going to ratchet this up. It's the only explanation. One thing Todd kept saying, he would turn to his group. He said like three times this week, guys, this is happening in America. That's what he would say. And they're all going, yeah, go figure. This don't happen in America. It happens, you know, in the third world. You go down to the, you know, Uganda or the Congo or South Africa, and you have a meeting of 80,000 because they have nothing else to do. They don't. and 35,000 get healed, and a couple of dead raised, blind eyes open. This happens to Reinhard Bonnke, Benny Hinn, many of these guys that go down, they see that level of phenomena in the third world. But here in America, how many headaches do we have healed tonight? Oh, you just feel better. That's good. We're moving. Let's pray that God fill your pocketbook, right? It's all about that. I think the Lord is disgusted with that. And the Lord spoke to me something. I was all ready to... I don't know if y'all know. I actually bought the website called wakeuplakewood.com. I actually had that domain name chosen. Bought. And we were thinking about making a big banner and hanging it over that bridge on I-59 when people are going to Lakewood that said wakeuplakewood.com. And when people click on it, they'd see, you know, really hoping people would be snapping to the era of that minister, that thing, the excesses and the era of the prosperity gospel. And I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there's a better way. Just move in power. Just move in the real thing, and people will want to walk away from that. You don't have to castigate that. Just do that. Lift Jesus up. Move in power. They'll come. Amen? So I said, okay. It'll be a hassle putting that web page together anyway. Thank you, Jesus. So that's not the direction we're going. GoDaddy.com emailed me this week asking if I wanted a renewal of Lakewood.com. It happened this week, interestingly enough. And I nixed it. I said, no. That was it. Cancel that. I'm going to go this direction. So again, guys, I'm going to close. I'm sorry for going a little bit long, but are y'all hearing where I'm coming from? Do you want to be adults? I want to encourage you. I have no high idea how long this is. I've wrestled with whether I should go. Jump on a plane, go, sit there a few days, get some of that oil on me, come back. I'm open, or if the Holy Ghost says, I don't know. But you know what? The important thing, everybody can't go. You don't need to go. This is contagious. But I'm going to encourage you to do this. I may not have to go. What I encourage you, if you do have an opportunity in the evening, www.god.tv. You have to sign in. You put your name in. It's all. There's no charge or anything. And you pick the USA stream. It's a lot. You got to have broadband to get it. And so if you don't have broadband, well, get broadband. Or maybe somebody you know has it. And check it out. Use discernment. Amen? And don't go getting tattoos. I really believe this brother, I think he's missed it. I think he's missed it on that. I do. But whatever. We all miss it on things. Amen? Whatever. Bless him, Lord. I think he believes this is the way I'm going to reach the Hulk Hogan's and the wrestlers and stuff. Fine. I don't happen to believe that. He does. I'm not going to judge him for it. I'm going to look at the fruit in the flesh. Let's all stand. Jesus. Jesus. Somebody did a web search, and they posted me some links of some of the outlandish, off-the-chart type stuff. And my response is, I know. It's frustrating. I know. So you don't need to send me those links. I've seen them. But until you can convince me that the blind eyes and all of this stuff is not legit, I'm going to be open to that. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus. Now, I want you to do something right now. I want you to just tell Jesus what you need. Right now. Just tell Jesus whatever you need. Physical, spiritual, whatever. In any area of your life, just tell Jesus what's on your heart today. Maybe it's for someone else. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a physical malady. Whatever. You just tell Jesus right now. Make your request known unto God. Tell him your need. He loves you. He's closer to you than you are to yourself this morning. Jesus. Jesus. Now come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Right? Touch. Open your heart. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the thirsty, for their thirst shall be quenched. Lord, give us hunger for Jesus. For Jesus. Give us hunger for the reality of God's power. Lord, deliver us from powerless Christianity. Stir up our hunger, Jesus. Lord, there are tens of thousands within several square miles of this building that are dying and hurting and desperate and needy, demonized, infirm and diseased. They need Jesus. Lord, religious, they need the power, the real gospel of Jesus. Come, Lord. We want to be a part of what you're doing in the world today. As the world gets darker, Lord, your light is shining. Forgive us for offense. Lord, forgive me as a pastor for religious spirits or religious attitudes or offense. That things have to come packaged a certain way for, Lord, give me discernment, wisdom, but also a meek and humble heart to recognize God. Come, Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be like John the Baptist or Jesus' neighbors. Well, we wouldn't be offended. We'd see Jesus' Spirit reaching and loving and rescuing. Come, Holy Spirit. Anybody else feel like you've had the same kind of attitude that I've suffered with in this? Let's just repent. Say, forgive me, Jesus. Ask the Lord to open your heart. Lord, get us out of religiousness. Open our heart to see things. The Bible says that man looks on appearance and God looks at the heart. Jesus. Jesus. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in the days and weeks to come in this place. As you deal with our heart, Lord, and break us and open our spirit to what you're doing in the land. Everybody said, God bless you. Go in peace. Amen. Anybody would like prayer anointing wall, come on up. Otherwise, see you next weekend.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.